There are two portions of Scripture I would like you to turn with me, please, tonight. First of all, the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4, and then Proverbs 29. Philippians chapter 4, the beginning of this chapter, well, it's really the conclusion of the book, the letter that Paul was writing to the Philippian Christians, and he exhorts them to rejoice. There were some that were not unified. Well, it was not uncommon, it was a normal church. And in every church, there's the potential of people seeing things differently and maybe going in different directions. And sometimes those feelings are very strong. They can become intensified. Well, he had to say to a couple that they were to seek for the same mind in the Lord. And he wanted them to rejoice. He wanted them to think upon the things of Christ and to let those things distill in their own life. Because when that happens, well, there would be cause and purpose for serving Him. There'd be reason to go on with God. And that's what He wanted them to do. We're going to pick up our reading at verse 10 of this chapter. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And then please, turning back to the book of Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. And there is one verse, number 25. It says this, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Let's bow, please, before the Lord now in prayer. Our loving Father, we are blessed to be in the house of prayer and praise and worship tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for the evening service. There is no better way to close off the Lord's day but to be in fellowship with Thy people, to be singing the praises of Your holy name, and Lord, to be under the word of instruction and encouragement and help. And so, Lord, tonight I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, for that promised unction has been given. We think, Lord, of those servants recorded in the Scripture that when they stood to speak, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And Lord, this time, this age is no different, and our need perhaps greater. Lord, draw near to us tonight and meet with everyone. I pray the Holy Spirit would come to everyone listening to this word tonight. Bless the Scripture to every heart. These words to our souls, we pray. Lord, give understanding. Give, where necessary, a rebuke. Give, O Lord, blessed encouragement. But give us, we pray, a will, a heart, a desire for the things of God. Lord, so often we find ourselves cold in spirit, and we ask to be warmed. The breath of God would be upon us. Lord, take distractions away from our minds just now. Don't let anything intrude upon this sacred time. Dear Lord, bless us. We think again of the clear message of the gospel sent forth this morning by our brother Gallagher. Lord, continue to use that word in the salvation of souls, either those who heard today in this meeting or listening online. Lord, use that precious word that was given. So be with us now tonight. We ask all these things in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Overcoming in Christ Jesus. What does that mean to be an overcomer for the Lord and in Christ? We have read these two portions of Scripture tonight, and the verses I want to leave with you from each one. Well, certainly in Proverbs we read a well-known verse that the fear of man brings a snare, but the person that trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And I want to link that verse with what we have read in Philippians chapter 4 and specifically verse 13. For Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here is the answer to overcoming in this present evil world that we are living in. Here is the answer, not the power of positive thinking, not stirring up something that we have within our own intellect or wherewithal, but it is a true and earnest and an honest dependence upon the Lord to enable us to be overcomers in our lives in this time. Sometimes we think about the wonders of the New Testament period and how it must have been to live either in the days of Christ or in the days of the apostles that saw him and knew him, and how great it would have been to have been a Christian in those times. Wrong. Because if we try to compare those times with these times today and think back to what were the good old days, we would be thinking incorrectly. Because, my friends, you see, temptation and difficulty and trial that would have faced those in the Old Testament period or in the days that Christ walked upon earth or in the days of the apostles in the development and building of the New Testament church, those times were hard times. It was not easy to be a Christian then. It is not easy to be a Christian today. Perhaps the one difference is that we have an easier time of it in some respect, because in our present climate where we are living, in the generation where we are, we do not face the immediacy of persecution. We do not face that onslaught that comes against us. Well, sometimes we wonder how long our land of freedom and religious freedom will continue, as there are so many turning against the Bible, and we may find ourselves in hotter water than we know before too long. But we will depend upon the grace of God in those times and when that comes to us. But this verse that Solomon recites for us and gives to us in Proverbs is a clear statement of fact that the fear of man brings a snare. What is a snare? A snare is a trap. As you have little furry friends that sometimes get into your house and the ladies don't like them too much with the long tails, and you will have to set a certain type of trap for them, a snare for them, and you're hoping that they're going to enjoy the peanut butter or the cheese or whatever it is you have to put in the trap to rid your house of those vermin. But they are rather cute if you looked at them up close. Anyways, A snare is a trap. It's something that is set to catch that which is the unexpected. And you know, friend, when we think about this truth that the fear of man brings a snare to us, how many times have we fallen prey to that very trap? We have gone for the peanut butter, and we have been ensnared ourselves. And maybe it is in a different sense when we consider the fear of man. What does the fear of man do to us as Christians? The fear of man, why, it can be a fear of rejection. It can be a fear that when we are going to give out the gospel, for example, when we are going to be witnessing for Christ, and the apprehension, the thought of someone looking at us in a strange way, looking at us in a way in which we are going to feel the eyes piercing through us, that brings fear into our hearts. After our youth outreach initiative, I asked the young people to send me a paragraph of their thoughts, their feelings, their impressions of being at the outreach time. And let me read you a couple of words from this one of the young people. He said, "This was the first time in an outreach, and it was a wonderful experience to me. But to be honest, at first, I didn't want to go to the outreach. The main reason was I was afraid. I've never handed out gospel tracts or talked to strangers about the gospel. However, as I was doing the outreach, I realized how important it is to hand out the gospel tracts to people. We might not be able to see the impact of the tract given to the people, but we leave it and trust in God that He will do a work. One thing that was emphasized during the week was that Christ is worthy of all that we can give." He concludes by saying, "I am blessed to have this kind of opportunity, and I'm glad that I spent this time of life to serve the Lord here." I'm thankful for the honesty of that young person, because it's something that we talked about and we discussed in some of the devotion times, how difficult it is to serve the Lord and to do a simple thing like handing out a gospel tract or speaking to someone about your faith. And why is that so difficult? It's difficult because of the fear of man. You put it right down where the rubber meets the road. And we are afraid that we will suffer some type of rejection. And when it comes down to our own personal lives, no one enjoys rejection. And if you tell the tale of someone who has been rejected when they are in the youngest stages of their lives, and those things follow through with them, and it comes back as a haunting, repeated thing, "I have been rejected, rejected, rejected." And if that rejection from youth continues on through, it will have a great impact upon the life. And it will come back again and again. No one enjoys rejection. And so one of the great difficulties in dealing with the fear of man is, how do we overcome that? How can I get to the point where being rejected by someone for the cause of truth and Christ should not affect me anymore? My friend, there's another thing that we are afraid of, and that's being rebuked by those whom we are dealing with and sharing our faith with, if we take it even on that level. It's one thing if someone just brushes by you and says, "You know, don't bother me with such trivial matters. I have my life sorted out." That's exactly what they're saying in their mind anyways, and I don't need any of this religious stuff. Just pass by. But there are some people who will become very annoyed and they will turn and begin to attack you for what you are doing. They will openly reject the message, but they will also bring rebuke on top of that. And that's a very difficult thing, and especially when you may not be prepared for that response and you might not be, well, prepared to give an answer. But isn't that exactly what the Lord told us through Peter's epistle? That we are living letters known and read of all men. And that we are to be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in us with meekness and with fear. And we are to, as God's people, not be afraid of the face of man. We are to take that matter and say, Lord, give me strength to overcome, even in the face of someone who is going to bring me rebuke. There were a couple of times during the past outreach that there was a bit of rage that was also part of it. Rejection, rebuke, and then someone who was evidently angry with what was going on. And the anger spilled out. I shared with you before an experience I had when I was working in the printing shop of a man who came in to deliver some things, and we were talking away, and over my shoulder behind my press there was a Trinitarian poster that said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And as this fellow was looking over my shoulder, his eyes just caught that, and his countenance changed in an instant, and then his eyes began to bug out. It was almost that he was immediately possessed, and that spirit that was in him came to the surface, and he was visibly angry, and he began to pour out that rage against the gospel and that rage against Christ, and of course it was directed at me. And those things are not pleasant, and it makes a cold shiver go up your spine. You know, friend, if we are moved by those things, we have to be honest that the fear of man, it can bring a snare to each one of us. And when we are crippled by that fear, which is exactly what will happen, if we're trying to do a work for God and we find ourselves inhibited by such fear, well, we're going to be immobilized. One of the young girls said, as we were talking over things later on, someone came to her and did just that, spoke very strongly against what she was doing. And she tried to, in fact, she testified of that when she was here that couple Sunday nights ago, and she just was silent, did not know how to answer. And those things, they set you back on your heels. The fear of man, it brings a snare to us, and it can hinder us. And the next thing it can do, it can halt us from doing any more of God's work. You think, I'm not going to put myself in that thing anymore. Why should I? Why should I subject myself to this type of behavior or treatment? Is it worth it? And so we are brought to be silenced if the fear of man is unable to get hold of us and it cripples us from serving the Lord. If it makes us halt in the work we're doing, then who will be harmed by that but ourselves? We will be harmed. We'll be harmed because we will not be able and we'll be stopped from doing a work that God has commanded us to do. And you think about that in your workplace. How hard is it to speak to a workmate about the things of Christ? Especially when you know that they are not favorable toward that word. And if you receive that rebuke or that rejection and the rage comes against you, you want to be silent perhaps. My friends, we have to be careful that this fear of man does not stop us and hinder us from serving the Lord in the way in which we know we must do. You see, the Apostle Paul, he also knew as a human being what it was to be stopped, hindered by doing God's work. And yet, as he drew closer to Christ and was an overcomer, he also realized that it was not himself. It was not by his own power. And so as he exhorts the Philippian Christians, he says to them, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, the Apostle Paul knew what it was to come to people and churches, and he said to the Corinthians, I've come to you in much fear and trembling. He did not see himself as someone who was a superhero or a super Christian. The apostle knew himself as being just a man. And he said, I am overcome with my own weakness. But it was just then when the apostle realized that his weakness was the very avenue through which God would use and pour in his strength, and pour in his grace, and pour in the help that was necessary to be able to do what naturally our flesh rebels against, and we reject it because we don't want to be seen as an oddity. We don't want to be seen as someone who is a bit crazy or different. We want to be liked by the people who are around, and that's very natural. But you see, friend, when we think about the life of our Savior and what he went through and how he was treated and abused by those he brought the message of life and hope to. He came unto his own and his own received him not. He knew what it was to be rejected. He knew what it was to be rebuked by those around him. The Savior has been down the same road that you and I have been down, but even much more difficult. And we are to draw from the power that the Holy Spirit has given to us through Christ, and that we are made overcomers. That was the very theme of Romans chapter 8, that Paul concludes that glorious portion of Scripture with, that you and I in Christ have nothing to fear, but we are made overcomers by the grace of the Lord. I can do all things through Christ. What are we to do then? My friends, we are to pray for the grace of God in our own lives every single day. We are to pray for that grace that will enable us, that grace that will make us overcomers, that grace of Christ that will be so evident in our lives that we know he is with us and the Spirit of God is empowering us. And we have to know that grace, and therefore it will lead us then to have the power of the Holy Spirit as we pray for him and for that power to be working in us. I can do, Paul said, all things. I can witness for the Savior. I can give a word of encouragement. I can, by God's grace and very gentle patience, give a word of rebuke of where it's necessary. And how can we do that? We can do that by the power of God's Spirit that abides within us, the promised Holy Ghost that has been given, the Comforter that comes to us, the Comforter that abides within the heart of every child of God, not just a visitor, but someone who is abiding there forever, revealing the things of Christ to us, giving us strength where we have no strength, giving us power where we have no power ourselves, showing us a way when there is no way. For God himself makes the way for his people. We need his grace. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he will give us the courage. John Knox, the Scottish reformer, filled with the Spirit of God, said he would never fear the face of clay because he fears the face of God. And that strength is what we need, and that courage is what we need. And sometimes, friends, though, you might think, well, I have no problem speaking to someone about the gospel. I have no problem going up and talking to someone. Maybe your personality is such that that's not really an issue to you. But it doesn't mean that you still are not tempted to be gripped by this power of fear, because maybe in a family member situation where you should speak to them, you don't want to do it. And you're reluctant to do it. Why? Because you don't want to be rejected by them. You don't want them to feel that you're going to lose friendship or fellowship with that person. Maybe there's those situations too. Friends, we all need to pray much for the power of God's grace in our lives so that we can be overcomers and able to do all things. This is not something that we conjure up within ourselves. No, believer, this is something that God gives to us. And as Paul was grasping this thing and holding it tightly to himself, he was sharing it with the Philippian Christians, and he was saying to them, listen, I have been down the road of Christian life for some time. I have suffered many things. He said to them, I don't want you to send me something so I can just have it, because I've learned to be without things. I've learned to suffer things. I've learned to abound, yes, but I've also learned to be in want. I've learned that those things are not important in life. I've learned that there is something more important, and I can do and accomplish and glorify God. I can do all these things, but it's not of self. It's not of intellect. It's not of ability, naturally. It is of Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is of the Spirit of God taking us and molding us and using us for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. We are to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Without Him, we can do nothing. Jesus not say those very words, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without me, it is impossible for, that's the weight of those words. Without me, ye cannot do. Without me, it's impossible. For the believer, we must be linked with Christ, our Redeemer. We must find our strength, our power, our joy to come from Him. For when that is the case, believer, we are able to go forward and to overcome. What has it been for you in this past week? What challenges have brought themselves to the forefront of your life? Maybe something that you think, I cannot face this, I cannot go beyond it, and it's crippled you with fear. The Lord says that perfect love casts out fear. And whoso trusteth in the Lord shall be saved. That was the answer that Solomon wrote in Proverbs 29:25. Whoso trusteth in the Lord shall be safe. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These things are the power for the Christian, for the believer. Therefore, brothers and sisters, tonight, let us not put our heads in the sand and imagine these things will just go away. Let us not be weak and cowering and be failing to do that very duty that God calls us to do. But help, may the Lord help us. And when we look into the eyes of someone who is without Christ, and to see their need, and to pray for them, and to witness to them, to do what we can. Because as the Lord gives us that grace and strength to do that, He will be glorified in and through our life, our testimony, our witness, in some small way. It may be just a word, maybe just a passing comment, it may be something of a more involved conversation. You say, well, I'm no theologian. What am I supposed to do? I'm not even sure where the certain scriptures are found. You know, one thing that came out with the young people as they reviewed after going out for the day, and some people were asking them about their faith, and they didn't have an answer. And so they said, it's really making me think I need to know the Bible better. I need to memorize more scripture. I need to be about the Master's work. And so they said, I'm going to start reading the Bible more. That was one of the outcomes from several of the young people. What a thing. That is a perfect answer. And if that is part of the encouragement of the youth outreach, then that is a great benefit. But not just for this, it's for all of us. That as we realize if we don't have answers, we need to find the answers. We need to have them on the tip of our fingers and our tongue to be able to share our faith. You may not have the intricacies of a theological answer. Never mind that. You just look at a person and let them see the love of Christ in you and be able to share what the Savior has done in your life. And simply to say, as the one man did in the New Testament, I'm not sure how this all works, but he said, once I was blind and now I see, that I know. And it's affected me. And Christ has come into my life and he has changed me. And one time I used to walk down the road that way, but now God has directed me in another way, on the heavenly bound road. And that's the hope. And my friend, when you share your faith with someone, there is great joy in your own heart, because not only do you tell them, but then you begin to pray for them. I shared on Wednesday evening in the prayer meeting, a man who came to look at a car I was selling. And it was a very unusual opportunity. And God opened the door. And the car actually had already been sold. And yet he wanted to still come and look at it anyway. And so he came and we talked for 5 minutes about the car and for the next hour about the things of God. And the Lord just opened the door. And it was an unusual opportunity. Pray for Mr. Adams, his name, Spike Adams. And that God would open his understanding. He's been seeking for the Lord. Well, he's been seeking for answers to life. I can't say he's been seeking for the Lord, but he's been seeking for answers to life into Buddhism and Shintoism and many other Eastern philosophies, thinking about many things. But you know, the Lord gives grace. And when you have the opportunity like that, your soul rejoices and you praise him. And you say, Lord, let there be another one. Bring another opportunity. And let my mind and heart be opened. And let my schedule be so that I will make myself available. We're in a very busy world and lifestyle. And we're buzzing here and buzzing there. And our times are so taken up with things. And sometimes you don't have time for the Lord or his people or his things. Well, may the Lord give us grace and help us. Because I don't preach to you. I preach to myself on this one. That I need the Lord's mind, I need his heart, I need to see things more biblically and scripturally in every step of life. And pray that God will use us, use our testimony, use our witness. Let us trust in the Lord and we shall be safe. And not be crippled by the fear of man, but to know, as the apostle said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Friend, you may be here tonight and you're not a Christian. You're not a believer. The things I'm saying to you don't make too much sense, because until you come to know Christ as your Savior, they don't make any sense to you. You need to repent. Call upon him. Turn to the Lord where you're seated right now. I cannot save you, but I can direct you to the one who can. And Christ is able. And he is willing, because today is the day of gospel grace. Today his arms are open to receive you. Friends, do not tempt the Lord. Do not tempt him by wasting time. Do not tempt him by going on and thinking, I have tomorrow, I have the next day. We do not know what a day may bring. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Flee to Christ while you have breath, while you have life. Because after death, my friend, it is eternally too late. God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. Now is the time. Call upon him. where you are. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Father, take the words tonight, precious word of God, and so impress it upon every heart that we will not easily forget. Do with us, Lord, what you will. Take us to be used for your honor and glory. Help us all to be soul winners, we pray. Help us to go in that right pathway. Lord, for any who are here without the Savior, either in this service or listening, we pray for the effectual call of the Holy Spirit in their heart. Save them, Lord, we pray. So separate us now in thy fear with thy rich blessing. Take us all to our homes in safety. And dear God, make us a blessing there, we ask. Give us grace every day and give us the joy of living not in the fear of men, but to the love and honor and glory of Christ. For we ask in his precious name. Amen. Thank you.